Welcome to episode number 22 of the Worship Drummer podcast. This is John Mena, your host. You are part of a global group of Christian drummers who are continually striving to put the heart before beat. Why? Because we believe that worship is about the work of your hands and heart. Follow along online at worshipdrummer.com, or you can always hit me up on Instagram at worshipdrummer. Thanks for listening and enjoy this episode. What's up, Worship Drummer family? Hope you're doing well, and I'm super excited to share this episode with you. But just before we jump in, I need to let you know about a free training that Worship Drummer has launched called Using the SPDSX in Worship. And this free course is a series of four videos where we want to teach you how to use the Roland SPDSX in worship purposes, in a worship context. And what we tried to do is, you could Google and YouTube a bunch of this stuff, but we filmed it professionally ourselves and wanted to make it very concise, all in one place, one spot where you can find the information you need. So we teach the essentials that you need to know in order to be able to use this drum pad, the SPDSX, in your worship setting. So head on over to worshipdrummer.com/022. That's for episode 22. And our show notes are there, but also I'll link to the free online training that we've created. Again, it's all about learning to use the Roland SPDSX. It's the number one drum pad in the market used in worship. And we'll teach you how to use it in your worship context. So it is my privilege, my pleasure, and my honor to introduce Jen Ledger. She is our guest on today's podcast. And I have to say, in June 2015, right here in Toronto at Canada's Wonderland, they host an event called Wonder Jam. And I was backstage with some friends who are in Carrie Jobe's band. And when Skillet went out, they're like, hey, let's go check out Jen. And I have to say, she absolutely tore it up that night. Played with such intensity, precision, and power. And yet when I had this interview with her, you see the humility, her heart for God, and her love for the ministry as being very, very evident. And so I'm so excited to present to you this episode. And also, Jen, just so you know, you are the first female guest to be on the Worship Drummer podcast. So now you will forever hold that title. So congrats on that one. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Jen Ledger. Jen, we're so honored to have you on the Worship Drummer podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I don't think you need a long introduction, but can you just give a bit of a background as to how you became Jen Ledger of Skillet?
Of course. I am from England, a place called Coventry in England, and I came to America at age 16 to do a small program called the School of Worship. It's like a 14-student program that happens in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the middle of nowhere. But I actually came over because my older brothers had both completed the course and they had come back completely transformed. We had grown up around religion and church, but really had no idea what the gospel was and had kind of completely missed the point when it came to living for Jesus. And so when my brothers came back completely transformed from this school, my mom was really happy for me to leave at 16, basically to get a relationship with the Lord, and she knew I needed it. And so I kind of came to America not really knowing what to expect. I was only planning on being here for 10 months and heading back home to be a hairdresser. But wow. I came back to do the second year of the school, and I had actually quit the drums altogether because I had become so convinced that I was so bad at them. I had become really insecure. I used to play for 200 people on a Sunday morning. I'd feel sick to my stomach. I'd be so nervous and just stressed out. And I just really didn't like being in front of people. And I think just being around other drummers in my life where they're incredibly flashy. I think it made me think, because I couldn't play like them, I obviously am not good at this and I'm not meant to play. And so kind of like the teenage angst, insecurity has really got the better of me, and I had quit altogether. And at age 17, I had continued with the program onto a second year. And about 3 months into the program, Skillet asked me to audition. I was friends with two of Corey Cooper's sisters, and they had told her that I'm a drummer and stuff like that. So Corey really wanted me to try out because the previous drummer was a girl, and I think she loved the idea of having, you know, a believer and someone that had a similar heart, and also having a female would have been really helpful for her. But yeah, John Cooper really, really didn't want me to try out. He was like, I think she's around 21 years old, and that's way too young. And he had auditioned some session musicians in Chicago, you know, that had touring experience. They had all their own gear. They were ready to go. And I'm just so green, and he just didn't want to deal with it. But he basically let me try out to keep his wife happy. And so when they asked me to try out, though, I said no. I was like, no, I don't play anymore. I'm done, you know. But I was praying about it, and I really felt like God was saying he wanted me to try out. But I was so convinced that I was bad at the drums. I thought, there is absolutely no way the reason he'd be having me audition would be to actually be in the band. I'm sure he's going to teach me like humility or some lifelong character thing, and I'm going to carry it with me for the rest of my life. But the one thing I was sure of is that he would not be using me in my drumming, because it's the thing I feel the very weakest at. Mm. And so I went and I tried out. The audition went kind of crazy well. I remember the night before the audition, I tried to play my solo for my friends, but I was so nervous and trembling, I couldn't complete it. So I remember the 30 minutes before the audition, I didn't even practice, I just prayed. And wow, I felt like God spoke to me from Isaiah 41:10, and it's like, from the ends of the earth I've called you, do not fear, for I am with you, I will hold you by my right hand, and I will make you new and sharp and strong. Kind of, this scripture was like, I went into the audition with this piece that, like, I don't know what God is doing, but I know he's with me. And so I tried it out. It went really well. Scared to death that I'd misrepresented myself. So I tried to sabotage myself in the interview following. They were like, so tell us about yourself. And I was like, well, I've actually quit the drums because they make me so nervous. And, you know, I think that if I don't get into this band, I'm probably never going to play again. And I just kept going on and on. All the wrong things to say in an interview. And I think I was just afraid. I was just afraid and almost trying to, like, I don't want to get into this band by my own merit. And so they called me back a couple of days later and basically said they were going to choose me as their drummer. And they appreciated my heart and my honesty. And I didn't even believe them. I was like, what are they? What? They surely can't be picking me, you know? And they asked me, like, what I was up to. And I told them I was busy with plans for my birthday. And he's like, oh, you're going to be 20. You're going to be 22, right? And I said, no, I'm going to be 18. And he, I just remember his, like, jaw just dropping. And then he found out I'd only been playing for 4 years. And he was like, if I'd have known any of this, I would never have let you audition, you know? And it's just so cool to see how God, like, kept certain details hidden. You know, he spoke to me. Even me being in America at the exact time that their drummer was leaving, everything about it felt so much like the Lord putting me in this band, that it was like when I actually said yes to it, there was no way I couldn't. It felt so clear to me that this has nothing to do with me and everything to do with him lining things up. And so my first tour ever at 18 years old was Winter Jam, which is like the biggest Christian arena tour in the world. My first show ever was 15,000 people in a sold out arena. And I'd gone from 200 people at church being terrified to this. And truthfully, I owe it all to the grace and faithfulness of God, because I remember the sound check before I didn't even know what a sound check was. And I was so shaky. I just couldn't play with the click. I was terrified of the empty arena room. Like, just I'm naturally a bit of a timid person. And then the band prayed for me before we went on stage that night. And it's like I've just known God's presence with me as I play ever since. And to be speaking to you 10 years later and see what God has done with my life from just saying yes, like to see what he can do with the thing that I thought was the weakest thing about me. And it's become the thing he's displayed his glory through for 10 years. I'm like, wow, all you have to do is say yes. And he really does do the rest. And I'm like living proof that our God is a God of the impossible and he can do anything with anyone.
Wow, that's amazing. And I didn't even, like, I knew some of those details, but to hear it laid out like that, it's quite fascinating for sure.
It really, and I'm telling you probably, I don't know, maybe 30%. There's so many details that it would just take me 3 hours to tell you how, there's just so many amazing details that God, he's such a master planner, you know? Yeah. And like, this is the nutshell of information I try to pass quickly, but it really is, it's all him, and he's amazing.
what kind of advice can you give to a young drummer who maybe God has given them a word or a picture of their future, but they just feel like they're just doing the small and the little still?
I would say always be open-handed, because when God says tomorrow, it can mean 10 years. And when God says now, it can mean for your future generations. He's just so above us and so outside of time. His ways are so not like our ways that I would always be reluctant to make your own plans and decide what you think that the calling of God looks like on your life. For me, I mean, I've known seasons where, like, for example, I thought God spoke to me to pursue a solo career 6 years ago. And then it's taken 6 full years before I've actually seen or stepped through and stepped into any of it. And there were times where I thought, have I missed it? Did I not have enough faith? Was I too afraid? Like, have I already missed the window? I would have thought this would have happened when I was 22, and you know, you're more adorable then and people care more. You know, it's just those earthly terrible thoughts that run through your head. And something I've really learned though is just like, if you're faithful with the little and faithful with kind of like the mundane, then God will open up, not necessarily, but God can open and trust you with a lot. And I've actually sadly seen a lot of people around me be so obsessed and so they've placed their identity into what their calling is, and identity in drumming, identity in being a musician, identity in writing my own music. And I actually feel like that doesn't represent a believer. And I think in American culture or Western culture in general, we can often mix up the calling with God with our own dreams and desires. Yeah. And I think that a healthy reminder is that those that lose their lives find their lives. You've got to be willing to let go of everything in the name of Jesus. So for me, maybe my heart isn't to be single forever. However, if I know that I'm living my life open-handed, maybe I won't get married. And you know what? Jesus is still 100% worth it. If I feel like I'm supposed to play drums, but those doors aren't opening for me, then I embrace the season I'm in. I devote my life to the church. I devote my life to the people around me and be Jesus to these people. And you know what? If you never get to play drums ever in the way you thought that he told you you would, Jesus is still 100% worth it, because it's those that lose their lives that find it. And it's an eternal thing, an eternal treasure that we're living for. And we're not living for this earth here. And I actually think that that's something that we need a healthy reminder of this in the church. because culture is so all about pursuing happiness and pursuing dreams and being fulfilled, when actually Jesus promises that there will be suffering and that those that are persecuted in his name, don't worry, because that means you're doing something right, you know? Like, it's kind of the opposite of what Jesus says. And so I do think that music can be an idol to a lot of people, and it can get mixed up because you feel like you're doing it for God, you know? Yeah. And so I do feel really passionate about this, actually. And for me, music was something that I had given up because I thought I wasn't good at it. The different reasons altogether. But being open-handed that when God asks me to move forward and I say yes, I just have to trust him no matter what it means. If it means I do get into Skillet, for me, that was more terrifying than not getting into Skillet. For other people, it would be trying out and not getting it would be terrifying. And you've just got to be okay with whatever God has for you, because we're only here for a breath. You know, we don't have long and then we get eternity with him. And so I would encourage those people that do feel like they don't know what to do because they have these words in their life, just seek God where you are and be as faithful and make the most of the season you're in now. Embrace it and see the kingdom of God come through no matter whatever you're doing, if it's construction, if it's serving as a waitress, you know, you've got to embrace those things and see the glory of God there. And you never know what he'll do with you, but it's usually through your faithfulness in that season that the next door opens, because he usually wants to train you no matter where you are. I even love like the story of David and how, you know, he was anointed to be king, but then he was sent right back to the field to be a shepherd. And true. I think we all have those feelings of, but I'm anointed for this. And it's in the field that he learned to take down the bear and to take down the lion with his bare hands. You know, you learn things in the seasons that feel mundane. So you've just always got to trust God that the right door will open when he wants it to. And no one can thwart his hand. So if he has a plan for you, it will happen. It will happen. And you can't stop it and they can't stop it. So if you are in a season you don't like, he's got you there. So embrace it and be thankful for it.
Amen.
It's a soapbox of mine, I guess. I didn't know.
No, it's great. Great. Because a lot of people will just look at someone on a stage, right? And just say, oh, what do I need to do, like A, B, C to get there? And the more interviews I do, it's the complete opposite.
Yes, absolutely. You know? And even the reason I picked my bandmates for the Ledger Project, actually, was because I want people with the same heart as me. And like my drummer, Jalon, honestly, might be just one of the best drummers you've ever seen. But he is someone that he could, you know, he had scholarships to Berkeley, but he felt like the Lord said no to those things. And he poured out where he was. He got into construction, embraced the season he was in. And just, he says, I saw like the kingdom of God advancing in construction, and the kingdom of God will advance wherever his people are. It doesn't have to be in music. And I think that's what made me want him as my drummer, is that his identity isn't wrapped up in drumming at all. His identity is wrapped up in being a servant of Jesus and living this life for him. And that's who I want in my band. I don't care if you're amazing at the drums and you live for the drums. In fact, I probably don't want you as my drummer if that's what your heart is. I'm looking for someone that their identity is in him, and that's what frees you to be the most. I mean, wait till you see him play. He's just ridiculous. So it's just even more exciting, you know?
Nice. Are you planning to come to Toronto at all anytime soon with Ledger?
I don't think so, but I hope we do soon. We're kind of just figuring out, because obviously I'm full-time with Skillet, but then also pursuing the Ledger Project. We're almost taking dates on Skillet days a lot, and then also looking at my time off and figuring out which tours to take. So we're kind of in the middle of planning it now, but I haven't heard of any Toronto dates just yet. I hope so, though.
I'll keep my ears and my eyes peeled for sure.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
So actually a question, since we're on the Ledger Project a little bit. So, like, what, as a drummer, I know you sing as well with Skillet. So, like, what was your thought or your reasoning behind doing the solo project? You did mention something about 6 years ago, God showed you something.
Yeah, you know, it was about 6 years ago. I was obviously touring with Skillet, and I was just seeing how impactful music was all over the world. You know, people that don't even speak the same language, it's like music was breaking those barriers and boundaries, and God was using it to not only like save people's lives, literally, like people telling us that they were going to commit suicide, but then they heard a Skillet song and it stopped them that night from killing Wow. themselves. Or yeah, or like we've met a lot of people that, you know, have been addicted to drugs, and the music has empowered them to be clean and to stay sober. And I think I just got so overwhelmed with how music can affect people and how God uses it to literally save people's lives. And I was basically kind of seeing not only that, but at the same time meeting a lot of young girls who had said, I started to learn the drums because of you. Or it sounds really goofy, but like a lot of girls were saying, I changed my hair because of your hair. And like, I was like really humbled by it, because I think just the fact that being with Skillet had given me this platform and this influence into the younger generation, into young women, it really humbled me, and it made me feel, I mean, I think basically I felt like, if this is the platform and the influence I have being the drummer of Skillet, why not embrace this platform even more and be even more vocal and start sharing my heart through songs also? It just seemed like an amazing opportunity that I've been kind of handed here, and why not embrace it? Especially when, you know, our loudest influences are reality stars or like Disney stars that have Wow. gone wild. And I just feel like our young people need to look up to people, and I would love to be a light or just someone that will lift you up rather than tear you down. And like, if your daughter copies my life, it's not going to lead her into drugs. It's not going to lead her into Yeah. dysfunctional relationships. It's going to lead her into a healthy and whole place. And that's exactly why I felt like, Lord, if I can do, if this is the platform you've given me, even if it terrifies me, I'll wholeheartedly go here if you're able to use me in that way. And so it kind of felt like maybe like almost like the Lord was just giving me a platform here to be more of a light and more vocal with who I am. And I also wanted to kind of just be an example of talking about really real things. And for example, a couple of years ago, I started experiencing like anxiety and panic, and I'd never been through anything like that. It was such a random small season, and it made me feel quite disoriented and like, who am I? This is so not like me. And so I actually wrote the song Not Dead Yet about that season of struggling with panic and fear, because I've recently learned that this generation is the highest diagnosed percentage of people with anxiety and on anxiety medicine and things Wow. like that. So I know that this is something that the enemy is using to lock people up. And in some ways, I'm kind of really thankful I was able to experience that, because after wrestling through it, I know how it feels defeating, and it feels like it makes you not even want to try. Like if you struggle with this, then surely you should never go for that. Like for me, yeah. I was like working towards a solo project, and then all of a sudden struggling with panic attacks. I'm like, well, surely you should never step into this, because you're broken. Like you can't, you know? And that's what the enemy does. He uses fear. He uses anxiety, just to make people defeated before they even begin. And so like, if I can talk about these things and help other people, empower them to step through and step out of it, and help them to feel faith that like God is with you, and it's okay if you struggle, because he's strong enough for both of you and more, you know, like,
yeah.
And even with my walk with Skillet, it's my weakness. The one thing I thought he couldn't use about me has been the very thing that he's displayed his glory through. And so if I still struggle with getting a little panicky, or maybe feeling a bit afraid, or someone else can do this better, it's just amazing that God loves to choose the weak to shame the strong, and he chooses the foolish to shame the wise. And it's like, if you're weak and if you're not perfect and don't have it together, rejoice, because God does. And he still wants to use you and go with you wherever you go. And I hope that I can basically help people feel encouraged in that, like, you still make a difference, and it's okay. It's okay if you don't have all your stuff together.
Yeah. That's so refreshing to hear, even coming from you, because you are in front of thousands of people almost every mm-hmm. night, probably.
Yeah.
To ask a drum question, you've been playing with Skillet for about 10 years. How do you continue to develop as a drummer, like to innovate your sound, to push your skills? Do you ever get the sense like you've plateaued, and how do you how do you keep it fresh?
Honestly, I feel like every single time we do a new album cycle, I'm sure I'm the worst drummer in the whole world, and I'm just like,
whatever.
It's how you feel though, because you're like, you know how drummers are gonna listen to your work and critique, and there's just like a bit of a drummer, a drummer's way that can unnerve, like. It's like when you're playing and then my brothers are there who are both drummers and I want to die. Like something about other drummers being in the audience that just makes you hate it. And so I think that any person that's in like the recording industry, I would assume struggles with that feeling of, is this cool enough? Is this whatever? But something that's really actually helped me and freed me up is getting into the writing side of things more. It's really pulled me out of... basically pulled me out of the drummer's world of like drummers aren't going to think this is hard, you know, like that there's like, which is just pride, and it's pathetic that I'd think that way anyway, and getting out of that and actually learning to write drum parts that really highlight the writing in the song. I feel like I've learned loads from actually being in writing sessions with producers that they do all of it. They can program the drums while you're in the room writing. And I've just been my eyes have been really opened to how, if I do things that drummers find impressive, it actually doesn't highlight the hook, or it doesn't actually necessarily make the song any better, but all the drummers are impressed. Or I can come at it from a musical point of view. Yeah, that's actually really easy to play, but you know what? It really makes the hook of the song pop even more. And so I kind of feel like my attitude towards the way I write parts now has changed kind of drastically in the last few years, because I'm coming at it more of like as an overall songwriter rather than coming at it as a drummer and what's the newest chops I've learned, you know? And so I guess like keeping it fresh as far as actually learning and kind of challenging myself, I feel like that happens a lot in my writing sessions, because I'm around other people that are like, well, what about if we wrote something like this? And it's so different than I would have written, that it's kind of expanding my mind a little, which I've really loved. And then I actually find it really hard to practice on the road, because once you're in the routine, it's not like I can spend 3 hours figuring out new parts. So I have to basically focus on those things when I'm home. And I don't know what I do. I just basically go turn on some music and try. I'm not super technical and I'm not super great at challenging myself, probably as I should be in those ways, but more so try and challenge myself in the writing of it before I spend the hours practicing.
Nice, nice. Good. Just a few more questions, because I want to honor your time and stick to what we agreed to. But you have experience being the backbone as a drummer. And now you're getting a taste of what it feels like to be fronting your own thing. Are there any things you've discovered that you prefer at either end, or that you don't like?
Yeah, I think that everything I like is like a double-edged sword to all the things I like and dislike. For example, there's something about obviously being the backbone. It's not like you're free to go sing. You've got to hold it down and you've got to be on the click. And there's something that can make you feel a little invisible back there almost, which can be on the one hand like, oh, it'd be cool to be out there singing, but on the other hand, it's like a big safety blanket too. So like when I did do my first show with Ledger as the front person, I felt like completely vulnerable. I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do with my arms and legs? And it's like, so on the one hand, you're like, yeah, I guess I'm freed up to not be behind the drums. But on the other hand, I'm like, I feel so naked out here and I don't like it. You know, it was just a shocker. So I feel like the funny thing is my in-ear monitor mix is like night and day different for when I'm doing Ledger versus Skillet. If you listen to my in-ear mix for Skillet, it's basically all click. A little bit of everything else, a little bit of guitars, and then my vocal is pretty loud, but it's all like click and then loop, so I'm always on. And then if you listen to my Ledger in a mix, it's just completely the opposite. There's barely any click, there's tons of keys in there, and then my vocals, and it's more like a pop mix almost. And I'm like, oh, I can definitely tell that I feel freer in the Ledger stuff to not be as worried about keeping everybody on. Like, I don't even need the click there. But
wow.
In Skillet, I'm like, that is my best friend, you know, because if I'm on, everyone's on. And so, yeah, I guess it's been a switch in so many ways, but
yeah,
it was more stretching than I thought it would be. And I think just not having John Cooper in front of me, who's like the most entertaining front man in the world. You know, he carries like the banter in between the songs, makes the crowd laugh, makes them feel comfortable. And all of a sudden that responsibility was on me, and it was the crowd staring back at me. And it was my songs from the depths of my heart, my journey. It was really stretching, and it felt more like if they don't like the music, they don't like me, because this is my heart, you know? However, yeah, with Skillet, it's like such a group thing, and I'm in the back. I just trust John Cooper wholeheartedly, and I never worry about any of that. And all of a sudden, it was like a whole nother level of vulnerability But honestly, it was super fulfilling too, because when you've been praying about something for 6 years and wondering if this is something God has for you, feeling like there's faith that it is Him, and also feeling like, but I'm not qualified to do this. You would have to do this with me, to actually step out in that and to know that He put you there. All these doors are opened only because of Him. If it wasn't for Him, you'd be a hairdresser in Coventry, and here you are. It's just honestly, even if it was stretching, it was like surreal, and it felt like a dream or like destiny all at the same time. Not to sound cheesy, but it's kind of the truth.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I like the cool part was the in-ear thing, right?
Yeah, the night and day difference in in-ears.
Yeah, it's crazy because we don't think of all of the ways. I do try to end every episode with this particular question. With the busyness of life and touring, how do you keep the heart before beat?
Yes, with business and touring. For me, I'm just learning just to trust and let go and not be a stressor. Like, I'm someone that likes to be planned. I like to have, for example, if I don't have money in my bank account, I do not spend money. I'm very much so someone that plans and budgets and whatever. And stepping into a whole new role of the business side of things and not knowing, I have no idea how this is going to look. I have no idea how to do these things. It's all brand new to me. Just learning to trust that God foresees those things. And letting go of the worry in my heart. And a scripture that I've been thinking about a lot recently, which won't relate to everyone, is like the Proverbs 31 woman. She like laughs at the future, basically, because she's not worried. She trusts in the Lord. And that's someone that I'm trying to be. And I'm, when I feel those thoughts come up, like, how do I get there? What do I do? How do I provide this? How do I pay these bills, whatever it might be. I don't know. I'm trying to be someone that just, basically, I want to be someone that has too much faith rather than too little, because it's the people with so much faith, like the woman that pushed through the crowd to touch Jesus's hem, that made Him spin around and say, who was that? You know, it's the people that have outrageous faith, like the centurion who said, you know, if you just say the words, I know that your authority will be carried and my son will be healed. And Jesus was like, astounded by his faith. It's the people that believe too much that seem to bring joy to his heart. And so I'm just choosing to be someone that, like, when those things come up against me and I feel like I could panic or I could stress or I could be afraid of an opportunity that feels too big or too scary, instead I choose to hopefully honor and glorify him in my thought life and say, well, you can, and you can help me. And I just trust and pray that you'll give me wisdom, that you'll give me clarity. And I just trust and pray that you'll open the right doors and close the wrong doors. And like, I just hope that my heart can basically bring him joy in being a person that believes in his greatness, rather than limiting it and thinking, well, maybe God will do that. Maybe I don't want to be someone with a faith too little. And I don't think there's such a thing as being a person with faith too big. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do in this current season of stepping into, being the head of a business, and also embracing being a part of Skillet. I don't want to leave that band. And I love seeing what God is doing all through the world with this band. I mean, I'm in Vienna, Austria today. Tomorrow I'm going to play one of the biggest rock festivals with Marilyn Manson. Wow. And the fact that God would bring me here to display his glory, and he's faithful to these people, and he wants to bring his, just glory and his anointing. And I can't believe I get to be a part of that. And that makes pursuing Ledger confusing, because, how do you do two bands at once? I don't know, but God does. And I'm just not worried about it, because I just know he is so much above me. He understands things that I don't, and he can just breathe into dust and create a person. So why should I be worried about, decisions that just aren't big for him,
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense. I know it's kind of rambly, but that's how I'm trying to just take the season as it comes and trust that he knows what it will look like. And it's okay if I don't.
Well, there you have it, my conversation with Jen Ledger, and it was chock full of wisdom and what I like to call gold nuggets. One takeaway for me is just how she talked about living open-handed and just giving God your yes and just following and trusting his lead. And so that's really cool. There will be show notes available for this episode at worshipdrummer.com/022 for episode 22. As well, we have some pictures from Jen of her at the front of the stage, but also at the back sitting at her drums. And then as well, in the show notes, I'll put the link for the free online training that we're doing for the Roland SPDSX and how you can use that in worship. And so thanks so much for tuning in. I'm John Manna. This is the Worship Drummer Podcast. And always remember to put the heart before beat.